Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Here we go then, season five. It's episode one of a brand new season. And of course, loads of people talking about September, aren't they? Now, this is like New Year. People think of New Year now as being in September. It's the time to mix up your life, to make those changes, to make sure you're happy and settled before we actually wait for the bells on New Year's Eve. So take that as some inspiration today, if nothing else, although I'm sure you're going to be inspired. We are going to laugh. We are going to entertain you because I've got a fabulous guest in with me. It's episode 145 and I can only do it with your help, and I thank you. Please share this episode with at least one person. Just click share on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever. Click share, send it to a friend, anyone in your WhatsApp group, and you'll have done me a massive favour. Spread the word. This community is getting stronger and livelier, and our voices are getting louder. And our guest this week, thanks to Diane Marshall, our brand new sponsor, the queen of hair extensions. I've got some one equally as glamorous as the ladies who see our Diane Marshall. It's Robin Langton. How are you doing, my darling?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. And what? I love the fact we're going to have a conversation now that nobody else will be having with you. And I find that when I get people in this chair, even like people who've come from, you know, TV, serious journalists, things like that, they end the podcast saying, no one ever asks me them questions, and they're the questions I like to answer.
Makes it exciting.
Of course it does. So tell everyone why they should know your name.
So my name is Robin, and I have just come off season 13's Love Island. I actually still can't believe I've done it. It feels like such a whirlwind, but that's where you all know me from. You have definitely heard me on there with my mouth.
And what do you think people's takeaway from your appearance will be? Because my mum is 71 and loves Love Island, like never misses Love Island. She's well into it. And to be honest, it's sort of gone over my head over the years.
Yeah.
Reality TV as a whole, yeah, I don't tend to watch it. Not because I've got an opinion on it or I'm one of those people who are like, oh, you know, not because of that. It's just if I'm sitting down and watching an American box set, I'm watching Sopranos or something like that.
True, you know, crime documentary,
exactly. So I haven't really watched anything that's on the telly for a long time. Yeah. It's usually something like Netflix or somewhere, yeah, that I am. So why did you want to go on it, first of all?
So to be honest, it was kind of a big joke at first. Mm-hmm. I was never in a million years expecting to get picked to go on that show. I mean, I have got a personality that shines through, and everyone who I know, all my family will agree as well. But I feel like when I did apply for it, because I actually applied, I didn't get scouted. So I applied something like 6 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Absolute joke, like, was literally saying to me, mom, should I just apply for Love Island? Now she was like,
you know what, Robin, I love stories like this. I had Kush's mum into the studio, and I spoke to the lads as well from Race Across the World, on my BBC show, and those lads said exactly the same thing. It was a Sunday afternoon, we were laughing about it, we want to go traveling, shall we? I never thought for a minute, and they went on and won.
Yeah,
no, it's insane.
Literally, it was crazy.
So you'd have your dinner, you think, go on, I'll do it for a laugh. Who was encouraging you to do it?
My mum.
Okay.
My mum was like, I mean, everyone in my life, even like in my workplace, everyone, all my friends have always said, you are made for TV.
So who was Robin before Love Island then? Where'd you work?
So I was a quantity surveyor.
Okay.
Before Love Island.
Hey, good job.
Yeah, I'd done that for about 5 years. I've been to university.
And for anyone who's listening now, who's a little bit younger, who's now, you know, sitting there thinking, what do I do? I'm doing my A-levels, don't know what to do next. Talk to me about being a quantity surveyor.
I think with me, I was always kind of that girl who I always knew that I would never want to sit a normal 9 to 5. I would not want to be sat behind a computer all day. That's just not me. That's not my personality at all. I like to be up. I like to be active. I like to be involved in everything. So I feel like quantity surveying was the perfect job for me, because one day you're on site, one day you're in an office, one day you're going to meet the biggest clients. Like, it's just such an exciting job, and every day is so different. different. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's not a lot of knowledge around quantity surveying for younger people. I heard about it through family.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of quantity surveying in my life.
Just in the last 24 hours, you're the second person to mention it. And I thought, you know what? Let's talk about this before we go any further.
It's growing now. It is growing now. But even like another massive thing as well, it's very male dominated, that industry. So I feel like for me, of being a female in it, it was just so much better. Like in my university class, there was two girls, including me. Like there was no women in the course. It was just us two.
So where did you study?
John Moores. Okay. John Moores. So studied there, and then even in work, I was the only girl in my department. There was no other women in there, but I feel like I just had the upper hand then.
Yeah.
I knew how to do things, like do different things, work myself into situations where I could just kind of talk my way into it and
so
kind of lit up the room.
You've put your application in for Love Island.
Yeah.
You have to do like auditions and stuff. Do you think these traits and these skills lent themselves then to you being with these people who are judging you, and you're going, right, I've got to prove me way?
1,000,000%. And also, I'm also a DJ.
Okay.
So I was a quantity surveyor through the week and then a DJ every Friday, Saturday. I had a residency down in the Underground Gin Society in town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely love it in there. So I had my residency on the weekend.
Do you still do it?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. Love
done
it.
Done all my private parties. So I was literally working Monday to Saturday and then my Sunday was my day off. So if you like, obviously sending my application in, I had on what I was like, through the week, I'm a quantity surveyor, and over weekends, I'm a DJ. And that's a very random mix. Like, you would never probably put them two
the
jobs together.
Oh, the producers would love that.
And they absolutely loved it. But I do feel like my personality shines through anyway. That, honest to God, I don't even want to look at that tape I sent in, but I was going for it. I was in the Paddock Studios in town, DJing, and I was like, excuse me for being on the decks, but I'm going to come in and shake that villa up. And they must have just took it because they rang me 10 o'clock on Monday morning.
Brilliant.
On a Sunday afternoon.
That is insane. Wild. So at that point, you must have thought, right, I've got a really good chance here.
I did, but they always do tell you are never, ever, ever in that villa until you step foot in that villa. And that is so true because even like, I don't know whether you're aware, but there's like a holding period before you actually go into the villa.
Well, talk us through the process and stuff that people don't know.
So I was in the process for a few months. I was back and forth to London, meeting the exec, stuff like that.
And is that a sit down, let's have a coffee, let's have a chat?
There was loads.
Tell us a joke.
So you go into like the boot. So they've got a huge office in London. You go into like the boots area, you go and pick all clothes. You go into like, there's loads of different things that you go into Nescafe, pick all your coffee that you like, stuff like that. And then you basically have like a 15 minute chat with the execs. They get a feel for you and then they ask you to come back. So I think in the end, I ended up going to London all 3-4 times before I went on the show.
But you couldn't wait after the first one.
Yeah. And then
take your biggest bag to fill with all the goodies.
And then obviously you have to get medical. So you have to go down to the doctors down in London and everything. So that was a pretty long process. And then obviously got told that I was going on. I got told that I was going to be the first bombshell. So I wasn't an OG at first.
Yeah.
So then I flew over 2 weeks before the show was airing. And basically you're in a holding period. So you've got no phone, no television, no contact to anyone. You are just basically with a chaperone in a hotel. Don't get me wrong, the hotel was absolutely fabulous.
So talk me through that then. So you leave your house.
So I get picked up in a taxi from the house and with the driver. And then I go straight to the airport. And as soon as I got to the airport, I get my phone taken off me by a chaperone.
And this is Liverpool Airport?
Yeah. And then that's it. Don't see my phone then until I get
And they fly you to?
Fly me to Mallorca.
Okay.
Then I stayed in Caledore.
Nice.
You've been to Caledore? Yeah. Caledore is unbelievable.
Only as a kid though.
Yeah, oh, it was gorgeous. So we stayed in Caledore and they basically paid up with a chaperone who stays with you for 2 weeks. But the good thing about the producers is they're really amazing at pairing you up with someone who you will get on with.
Yeah.
Because I'm a very loud personality, I'm in your face. So I feel like someone, you've got to kind of gel with someone if you're spending 2 weeks with them.
Yeah.
And you remember, I've never met this person in my life.
They don't stay in your room with you, do they?
No, you have two separate rooms. Mm-hmm. But you can't leave that room without being with them.
So who was your chaperone?
Her name was Wendy.
Okay.
She was like, she's about 60 odd. And she was honest, I still speak to her every day. She is honestly the most amazing person.
Fab.
She made me feel like I had home with me because I'm a home bird. Like my little sister and my brother and my mum and dad are my absolute world. Yeah. Like I'm with them 24/7. So I feel like it was like a bit of a sense of home for me because she was just as wild as me and she was just amazing. It just made the whole process a little bit better.
So you don't meet the other contestants or anything? It's just you and Wendy in a hotel in Spain?
Fully secret. Oh, everyone's like within at least an hour away from each other. No one is in close proximity to each other on that island at all.
I love this.
So you don't like, and then all the chaperones have got trackers on each other. So you all know not to go to the same area so you can't bump into anyone. Yeah. And then on the day we were going in, obviously we were all in the same holding villa. We had eye masks on, headphones. We were in our separate tents. We couldn't see anyone. Like, it was so secretive.
Were the nerves kicking in then? Was there a point around this time where you thought, am I in too deep? I wanna back out. I'm not sure whether this is for me.
Never.
No?
Never. Huh? I just knew. Like, the thing is with me, once I make a decision, I've made a decision and I'll go with it. Like, mm-hmm. There's no way I'm turning back. If I put my mind to something, I'll do it. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
As soon as I got in my head, I was going in there. There was no ifs or buts about it.
Yeah.
And then last minute, I got changed to an OG.
Now it's time to sound all professional. I interrupt this podcast with some information about our fabulous sponsor. We are delighted to have a brand new sponsor here at Ladies of Liverpool. And honestly, this couldn't be more up our street, could it? Let's welcome in Diane Marshall, the original hair extension queen. She's been a past guest on our show. And of course, she's lasted years in this industry, completely upskilling, remarketing herself, still being the best in the business. So we are proud to call her our sponsor, aren't we, ladies? Please follow Diane Marshall on all social media platforms. And let me remind you that she's been transforming hair for many, many years, working with the likes of Kate Winslet on the movie Titanic. When we watched that, girls, it was our very own Diane who did her hair, who created those extensions before any of us knew that that was even possible, before we were going into Herbert's to go and get our own. If you're thinking, oh, I'd love extensions, I just don't want to commit. Well, she is famous for the hair halos, those halo extensions that you've seen me wearing on social media. A video that I put out that reached 1 million views in no time. It travelled the globe. That's how good these halo hair extensions are. And if you're thinking of doing it, now's the time, because you're going to want to look fabulous as we build up to all the parties coming our way until Christmas this year. Diane has a gorgeous salon. It's right here in Liverpool's city centre. She hasn't gone anywhere else. Of course, her extensions have, but she stands proud in our city centre, so you can always pop in and say hello. We thank you once again, Diane Marshall, for keeping our podcast live and present in our community right across the world and right here now on your podcast platforms.
So I was on the original lineup then.
So what did that mean to you then?
So I was always going to either be an OG or the first bombshell. I personally wanted to be an OG because if you like starting as an OG, you've got that click already in everyone, and you're doing the experience with how many other people.
You're going in as a bombshell. You must have got your head around that and saw that as a positive.
Yeah,
because it's positive.
Positive either way. Yeah, like I give bombshell energy. I would have absolutely my strut on that.
I think them making that decision at the start. I totally see where they were coming. Yeah. She's going to go in and ruffle feathers.
Oh, I was going to. Yeah. I was going to cause absolute havoc. And then obviously I went in as an OG. That was amazing. But I was easy. I wasn't bothered either way. As long as I was in there, I didn't care. But they literally do say to you, you are not in there until you step foot in that villa. And some people that got flew back home.
Oh.
Some people that got in there got flew home twice before they got in. Yeah, it's wild. Everything's got to fit.
Yeah.
So like even people say if I went in and I had a certain type and he wasn't in there, well, they'd hold me off then for a few weeks until someone come in there who was my type, and then he can
do it. So contrived, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes me feel anxious, just the thought of it, that someone's playing puppeteer with your life. And even if you're not necessarily going in to find love, but you're going in to start your career or whatever the reason is behind where you're going in, but someone else is holding all the cards.
And you don't have a clue. Because you're not kept in the loop. You don't know what's going on. So
that makes me chest go like that.
So some people got told that, I think Tina was one of them. So she got told she was going in as a bombshell.
Mm.
And she didn't go in until 2 weeks later. And like, she went in for the sleepover club thing.
What's a sleepover club?
It was basically, a separate villa where four new bombshells went to the villa and four people out of the villa went to there for a sleepover with them to get to know them. So
and could they bring someone back with them if they wanted to?
Yeah, so it gets changed last minute. So you don't know what's going to happen. You genuinely don't know what is going to happen until you're in there.
This podcast is dead honest, and I'm sitting here thinking, I watched this film, and I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast, but it sort of traumatised me. As I was not a kid, I was probably about your age, probably like early 20s. And I remember watching this film because my mate said, watch it, it's dead weird. And it was basically like Big Brother, but it was a movie about rich people, a bit like Squid Games before Squid Games.
Yeah.
And it was like all these rich people were sat at home playing like gods with people's lives, but they were getting killed. Like, you've got to kill that person to go to the next level and all that kind of stuff. And it's when I know no one's getting murdered on Love Island yet, touch wood. But, you know, they had to keep things spicy to keep these shows going. We watched it year after year with different reality TV shows. How far are they going to go? Because they've got to keep the public interest.
Mm-hmm.
That would scare me, that you're in their control and they can throw anything your way. And you've got to trust your judgment and your strength to be able to say, no, not for me, thanks, I'm getting off.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop.
Honestly, it, like, even being in there, like, even when you've just said about, like, playing God, like, literally, there was so there's cameras on you 24/7 everywhere, and there's speakers in wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
and we used to call it the voice of God.
Yeah.
And it used to be the producers speaking to us on the speakers. So they used to say, go here, or hold that, or do whatever, and we used to call it the voice of God, because they used to speak on the speaker, and it was like God was speaking to us, because we wasn't in contact with anyone else. It was just us in the villa, you know what I mean?
Were you ever scared?
Never. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was hysterical.
Really? There was not a moment where you were like...
hysterical. No, because it was exciting.
Okay.
Yeah. And we got told off loads of times because we were trying to obviously guess the plot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we were trying to do that. So, say in a certain situation, if the producer said, you girls stay in the dressing room, we'd be like, why are they asking us to stay in the dressing room?
Yeah.
There's lads coming in.
Yeah.
They're asking us this, and they'd be like,
trying to
no speculation,
it out.
No mm-hmm. speculation. But it makes it exciting. You genuinely don't know what's going to happen in there.
I can only compare it to like when you do a play or a theatre tour or panto, and you're just locked down together, and you're either on tour and you're just doing the same show every day and whatever, and you become best mates within a week. You know, you trust each other, you tell each other your secrets. Is it the same, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you actually really bond with some of these?
1,000,000%. Even the producers. Like, we had such a good relationship with them. I think the difference with Love Island is, obviously, I think people have a perception in their head. It is produced.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've got to create a storyline. That's their job. They've got to do that. They're creating a TV show and they need to keep people interested.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as produced as people think. You never got told to say anything. Well, this is my experience. I never got told to say anything that I didn't want to say. I didn't get told to do anything that I didn't want to do. They kind of weird it as like, do you feel like you want to do that today? Or do you feel like you want to hold off? And if I was like, oh no, I didn't feel like I want to, then we changed to something else. But obviously, like I said before, going in there, we're all doing the same experience. It's something we've never, ever, ever dealt with before. And genuinely, when people come off and say, oh, I've made friends for life. Obviously, some people are going to distance. We're all living in different areas and we understand that. But the bond that you have with them people in there, you will never have a bond like that with anyone else because no one else has been through that experience with you. And as much as it's all fun and games and it's an amazing experience, it's obviously a lot on your mental health as well. It's a stressful environment. You don't know what's going to happen. You also don't know what's going on the outside. Obviously, people come out to a lot of hate, and I've been quite lucky. Everything's been positive for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like that does sit at the back of your mind as well. What are people thinking? Have I come across okay? Because it's edited, so you don't know how you've been perceived. It's all these things that are in your mind. But because you've got people to lean on and you've got people to talk to, that's them people in that villa, the only thing that get you through it, 1,000,000%. Them friendships are the only thing that get you through it.
I think we're just scratching the surface with this, and I'm going to hit pause.
Yeah.
We're going to make part two of this. So thank you for listening to part one. Robin Langton here from Love Island, telling us all the things we don't know. So whether you need to pass this on to your kids who are saying to you they want to go on reality TV, a lot of the young ones do want to be influencers. Yeah. They want to go on these shows. They want to launch careers. We have got all the BTS, as the kids say, the behind the scenes gossip for you. Big thanks to our sponsors, Diane Marshall Hair Extensions in Liverpool City Centre, exactly where we need her. So you can pop into the salon anytime. Just find all of her links on our Ladies of Liverpool platforms on Instagram and Facebook. And we'll be back next week with the real lowdown. It's just getting spicy.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.
Why? Diane Marshall. There are so many now, different brands popping up here, there and everywhere. Why should someone watching this come to Diane Marshall?
You've got massive brands all over the country, but they don't really have a base where you can actually go and have a consultation and look at the hair, feel the hair and actually have it done in the place of the home of the brand. We sell hair out to salons all over the country.
You're seeing it for yourself. It's blended by hand onto you, so it looks as natural as it can.
buying somebody else's hair. I mean, we design this hair ourselves. We go out to China. We actually work with the manufacturers, design the colours. We tell them exactly how we want them made. They are completely bespoke to me. No other hair extension brand has the same application as me because I've designed the application. And I am so passionate about the actual production of the hair, of how it's made, how they preserve the quality. There's so much involved in making great hair extensions, and that's what I am the most passionate about, as well as the fitting and the final look. It's the actual hair itself.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.